Amen. Let's get into the Word tonight, shall we? If you can, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Amen. When you get it, please stand. Begin reading in verse 6. Brother Durr, thank you. These scriptures have been familiar verses for some of us here at Union Road. Pastor has used them as theme verses in years past in terms of revival or in terms of just a special time in the Lord. But throughout my studies this week, I was directed back to these in terms of the service tonight, and I pray that our hearts would be illuminated to the Word of God and what He would have us to learn from that tonight. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Amen. Let's go back to verse 6. This will be the focus of our text tonight. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near." Amen. I want to preach for a little while tonight on finders, seekers. Finders, keepers. I just said finders, seekers. Finders, keepers. Finders, keepers. I'm having a hard time finding it tonight. Amen. Finders, keepers. How do they finish that sentence, though? What is the last part? Oh, losers, weepers. Amen. I know that has been a term that we've used as a child in lieu of gaining a possession or losing a possession. But I believe tonight, spiritually, if we would apply that to our hearts, there are some tonight that you desperately need to find the Lord in this service tonight. And I hope that there are those amongst us that would not be in the second category. Those who lose Him will, the Bible said, end up weeping and gnashing their teeth. God help us tonight to find Him. Amen. Let's bow our hearts with our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I appreciate Your Word and I appreciate Your people tonight. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Oh God, minister in a way that I can never do on my own. God, go before us. Lord, I know Your Word will never return void, even in this chapter. That is what You spoke, God, that Your Word would not return void. We pray that in this altar service, You would become preeminent. And God, that You would find Yourself seated upon the throne of every individual's heart that is in this house tonight. Lord, I praise You for who You are. You are a great and mighty Savior. I thank You for that tonight. Everybody said amen. Before we get into the Word tonight, I also want to say it's a privilege and great tonight to have our guest with us here, Brother Jared Mitchell and Brother Grant and Landon Ralston. They made a trek all the way from Georgia, and that is a drive. Brother Jared, he's an Ohio boy, but you know, the Ralstons, they got planted in Georgia, so they're just glad to be back in God's beloved country. Amen. So glad to have them here with us tonight. Appreciate these young men and the lives that they live. Amen. Finders, keepers. I said this before, and I'm sure you have too at some time in your life when you see something that you want, and in reality, most of the time, it's not yours. But because you find it, oh man, you're laying claim to it. Finders, keepers, that's mine. Amen. Anybody ever found a dollar bill or a dollar denomination walking down the street? Is that not the greatest feeling? You know, one time we were at home I was playing in a tree at the house, and I looked down, and there looked like just a dirty leaf flying by, but my cat, I'm not even joking, this is the truth. This is the truth, I promise you. My cat was swatting at this thing, and I got down and I looked. It was a $20 bill. A dirty $20 bill. That cat became my new favorite cat. I followed it around for days. I thought maybe it had something that I didn't, you know, a way to detect money or something. Now, that part may have been exaggeration, the days, but you know, I'm not joking. $20, man, that's finders, keepers. It's great to find something that you had no intention or even had a desire to look after, right? It's wonderful. It's even better when you find something that you've lost. Tonight, I haven't wore this suit in a few weeks, probably since youth camp, and put my hand in my pocket, and lo and behold, I found a hair bow. Yeah, Emma was happy, you know. Probably been one that Sister Sarah's been looking for a few weeks now since camp. Anyway, found a hair bow. You lose things. You don't even realize that they're gone, and then all of a sudden you find them. And it's an amazing thing to get a possession when you've lost something. But even more than that, what about the things that you don't even know that you've lost? What about the things that you don't even know that you need to have, and yet they're missing in life? I got to thinking also about my childhood when I was musing upon this sermon tonight, and one of our most fun activities that I ever had as a child was playing the game hide and seek at our house. You see, when you are raised out in the country, the reality is there are not very many things around you, and you make do with what you have. You don't have that many neighbors except for cornfields. And so hide and seek became a staple at the McKelvey home. And when friends would come over, when we would have youth night there, hide and seek became one of the premier games of our house. You had so many opportunities to get away and to hide. And so no one would find you. Trees to hide in, cornfields that were supposed to be off limits. And yet I know some folks went there. Vehicles that kids would hide under, and places that you could just go and seemingly disappear. Hide and seek. Oh man, what a great game. You know the whole point of hide and seek, and this is going to be really deep here. I want you to catch this. If you don't know how to play hide and seek, one person hides as to not be found, and the other person seeks as to find the one that is hidden. Isn't that amazing? You will leave church tonight feeling as if you have learned something. I'm so glad God does not play hide and seek with us. This is a very simple thought tonight, but I want you to know something. God has made himself available to you and I. The Bible said that you shall seek me and you shall find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Oh, what an amazing thought. That the God of the universe, the real God, the living God, the God that has made and spoken everything that is into existence, has made himself readily available to you and I that we may find him. If you read earlier in this chapter in Isaiah, you will see that the prophet is declaring a word to the people of God, a people that have strayed in their relationship with God, a people that have turned their backs to God, and yet the prophet is telling them the words that the Lord has spoken to them, and he is calling out to a people who do not know where God is at, and yet in his words of life, he is speaking, if you will search for me, if you will seek for me, you will find me. Earlier in the chapter, he said, everyone that is thirsty, come. Everyone that is hungry, come. We live in a world that does not know God. There may be folks amongst us in this house tonight that your soul is spiritually thirsty. Your soul is spiritually hungry. Your life is longing to find what peace is missing. And I will tell you tonight, that peace that is missing from your life is Jesus Christ. And he has made himself available to be found tonight. Amen. Amen. Finders, keepers. Have you found Christ tonight? I believe every Christian in the house ought to rejoice and with a joyful heart say, amen. I have found Christ. I have found what my soul longed for, as the Song of Solomon described. Amen. I have found that beloved that my soul desired. I have found him tonight. And he is, as it was written, he is altogether lovely. Amen. Have you found him tonight? He's not hiding. He's not hiding. Amen. You know, when you're playing hide and seek, you calm your breath as to not be heard. You walk as silently as you can as to not be detected. You try to find a place where no one will find you. When we went on our Christmas getaway in Tennessee, that was one of the fun things that they did the very last night, was we had a game of hide and seek. And you know, it's one thing when you know where every special spot is. It's a whole nother thing when you don't have a clue where you are. And you're playing a game where everybody's on equal ground. And you've got to look under every chair. And you've got to look under every table. And you've got to look up in every crevice. But I want you to know tonight that when you entered into this house, not one time did we have to get a road map. Not one time did we have to get a treasure map. Not one time did we have to get directions to find out where God was hiding at. I never one time have had to ask someone for directions to where God is. No, he has made himself available to you and to me tonight. When I entered into this house, he was already here. Amen. His arms outstretched. There's no hiding with God. He's right here. Are you searching for him? If you are, you're going to find him. If you're searching for God, you're going to find him, because he's made himself available. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus told us, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Are you seeking the Lord tonight? Because if you are, you will find him. I already spoke that, but I want to reiterate tonight that our souls must have communion with God to be fulfilled. We have to. If our souls are out of relationship with God, it is inevitable that destruction will follow. Anytime my life or your life is out of relationship with God, when my choices are not in fellowship with him, when my relationships with my peers or with my family is not in harmony with God, destruction will follow. But when we are, and when we have found him, oh, there is such beauty there. Amen. The Bible says that we shall seek for him and find him. When we search for him with all of our hearts, are you searching for the Lord tonight with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind? There are times in life that we lose sight of what we should be searching for. We can lose sight of what our hearts are aimed at and the direction that we should be going. But I appreciate the fact that even in a time when, you know, I've been serving the Lord now for 14 years, and it has been a joy to serve him in this journey. It's been a joy. Amen. God has been so faithful. But even today, as I'm in our bedroom and studying and praying before the Lord, I found myself being honest for him, admitting, God, I'm tired right now. Physically, I'm tired, not spiritually, but physically, I'm tired. Amen. I know many of you tonight in a Wednesday night have already labored today, and your minds are drained and you're physically drained, and yet you're faithful to the house of God. And I'm so glad to know tonight that even in the middle of my bedroom, when I am being honest with my master and saying, Lord, I'm tired. I'm emotionally tired. You know, I worked all day, and here I am, and I need to have the mind of God to get behind this pulpit and minister. But God, right now, I just don't feel you. I don't know that you're near. And yet, listening to a song, all of a sudden, the very words that I was speaking to the Lord, a song came on and began to minister to that. And oh, the Lord just broke my spirit and entered into that bedroom. We will find him when we search for him with all of our hearts. Are you searching after God tonight? Where is the direction of your heart headed? Where is the goals of your heart set at? Are they set towards God? If they are, we will find them. I want us to notice just three things tonight about this, and then we'll close and come pray tonight. Notice the sense of urgency that the prophet spoke of in Isaiah chapter 55.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Notice that sense of urgency. You hear pastor oftentimes in our services talk about a sense of eternity. How that in that moment of time, God is allowing his presence to be felt. And nearness that I know that God is near. The Bible tells us that he is faithful to them that are promised. He never leaves us or forsakes. I know that. But there are divine opportunities that God gives to his people and to those who do not know him. Opportunities for salvation. Opportunities for deliverance. Opportunities for their souls to be changed, for their lives to be reconciled to God. There are moments in time that do not linger past that given opportunity. You and I have been there, no doubt, when a service has been so rich with the presence of God and conviction has settled into the house, and there is a definite moment that God has given for a soul to be saved, a life to be changed. That is an opportunity that we must have a sense of urgency in. There are opportunities where God has come by where you and I have been emotionally broken, mentally drained, physically in need of a touch from God. And you know in that moment that the Master has come by just for you. Just to lift you up. Just to put an arm around that discouraged heart of yours. Amen. Just to minister in a way that only the Master can. Amen. That's a time where we must be urgent to respond to that call. We must be urgent to respond to that opportunity. There are other opportunities given where we must be urgent to pray. Urgent to seek the Lord. I will never forget the night when Kenneth Cruz called and began to speak to me what had happened about Sister Katie and how that she had had a stroke in the middle of church, and here they're a newly married couple and she's expectant with child. And my heart broke because here's a friend of mine who is 10 hours away needing a miracle for his wife. And all that we could do was pray. That's all you can do. There's a sense of urgency there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God not only gives us moments and opportunities to call upon him, but that when he gives us those opportunities, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's listening, that he's reaching, that he's working on the behalf of his children. Amen. I'm glad tonight that when God gives us those moments and glimpses of his presence, that he is faithful and ministers in a capacity that we can never do on our own. That we can never experience on our own. There's a sense of urgency that we must recognize. And also, when we're responding, we must not hesitate to repent of sin and to recognize that we must repent of sin to dwell in his presence. Notice here in verse 7, he said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his evil thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I'm thankful tonight to know that God does redeem us from sin. My life has been changed. I was born again at 12 years old at Southern Ohio Youth Camp. My life was changed. But there have been moments where I, as a believer, have had to come before God with a heart of humility and submission to him and say, "God, I have sinned before you. God, forgive me. Repent of that." Because it withheld me from worship. It withheld me from entertaining the Spirit and the anointing of God. Sin will block us from being able to dwell in the presence of the Almighty. But isn't it awesome to know that he said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and he will pardon." Hallelujah. We do serve a God of judgment. Yes, we do. But he is a God of mercy, so that we as his children don't have to face the judgment to come. And I'm glad to know tonight that even though I am a fallen individual and I have not obtained yet that glory, one of these days, because we have submitted our hearts to Christ, we will inherit the kingdom of God with him. But we must repent of sin. We cannot entertain sin in our hearts and expect the anointing and the presence of God to dwell amongst us. Amen. Achan found this out quickly. Amen. When God spoke his word to the children of Israel and said, do not take of anything of the goods that you would and the spoils of war. And yet Achan saw these beautiful garments and saw the precious metals, and he took them. And because of that, destruction followed the house and children of Israel. Let us be reminded, church, that it is a blessing for the Spirit of God to dwell amongst us. It is a blessing to know the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. It is a blessing to have the active moving of the presence of God in our midst. We must not, or we must be careful to entertain the presence of God all the while shunning the presence of sin. Amen. God forbid that we should ever get so lackadaisical. Amen. And just understanding, well, God's going to move again. And like Samson, we will attempt to shake ourselves and find that the presence and the anointing of God has departed. No, we must seek after God while he's near. Amen. And call upon him. Amen. I'm thankful that God has given us a way of escape. Amen. That he does wash us. He does cleanse us from all sin. What a great Savior we serve. Amen. But we must repent of sin so that God can move and interact in our lives. And lastly tonight, we must remove distractions. Amen. I'm learning the older I get, and especially with Sister Emma right now, I'm in a phase where I just don't know what I'm supposed to do in church. Sister Emma has not yet learned that church is not the place for you to scream at daddy or to play. And she'll figure that out in a few years, I'm guessing, I hope. But man, I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do as a father, where I'm supposed to be at spiritually. But you know, there's a lot worse distractions that can come into our lives more than just a little child being a beautiful, amazing little girl. Whew. Man. You know, there's some distractions that can come into the family of God that unless they're removed, you cannot have freedom in the house of the Lord. There's some things that can happen inside of a family that can cause distractions and hindrances to the liberty of the Spirit of God moving in our homes. There's some distractions that can happen in a youth group that can splinter a youth group and cause harm and cause things to come in and to just defile what God would do. We've got to remove those distractions. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Distractions and hindrances are always going to be there in life. Every Wednesday night, this isn't even prophecy, this is just reality. There will be an individual in our church that will be tired physically. Every time. Right? Why? Because we are fallen people. We get tired. That's not anything out of this world. That's just common sense. But in spite of those distractions, we must pursue after the presence of God. It is not enough for us to say, I merely am going to try and crimp or limp down this road and make it with God. No, there are times that we as individuals and children of God must rebuke the hindrances that come against us, rebuke the distractions in our lives, and claim authority in the name of Christ and say, I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to find him. I will not stop until I get there. What would have happened to the woman that had an issue of blood had she allowed that issue to be a distraction for her, and even beyond that, the crowd to be a distraction for her? She would have never got her healing. Amen. What about little not Nicodemus. Oh man, my mind is going blank tonight. Zacchaeus, thank you. What about Zacchaeus? If he would have allowed his height to hinder him from seeing Christ. You see, I was reading this week in Zacchaeus' life how that there really was a transformation that took place. How can you say that, Brother Brian? Because as a tax collector, you don't give away half your goods and then recompense the evil that you've done unless there's been a heart change. I want you to know something tonight. If you're in need of just a fresh encounter with Jesus, I love in Scripture where it says that Mary went to the sepulcher to find Jesus. And she, supposing Jesus to be the gardener, not knowing that it was Jesus, said, "Where have they taken the body of my Lord?" And all Jesus said was, "Mary." That's it. Mary. And immediately she knew it was the Master. I believe tonight, if we were to still ourselves, get ourselves away from the distractions of the world that we're in right now, get ourselves away from the distractions of the political season, of the economic downturn, of the troubles that we have at home, at our workplace, or soon to be at our school. What if we were to get beyond that tonight and settle ourselves down and really, as Mary was doing, searching for Christ, we would hear him say our name. What about that tonight? How long has it been since you heard him say your name personally? I believe he's here tonight. I felt him already. I know that he's here. Do you recognize that he's very near to you right now? Can you hear him speaking your name as if it was you in the garden and you were searching for him? Notice that Mary took initiative to find Christ. I want you to know tonight, we must search for him. We must seek for the Lord while he may be found. We must call upon him while he's near. Do you recognize tonight that the Lord is near to you? Do you need him? I do. Amen. Music, would you come? Let's stand across the house, church. Hallelujah. The last thing I want us to notice in this text is that if you look at how it's directed, how it's written, I should say, it's directing our hearts that we are the ones to respond. God's already done his part. He's doing his part right now, and you may not even recognize it. It is our responsibility to respond to the call and the opportunity that he's given. How do you know that? Because if you study out English grammar at all, you'll know that really it's saying you seek the Lord while he's able to be found. You call upon him while he's near. It's not to be pushed off to our neighbor. It's not to be pushed off to the person that we have a grudge against or to the individual that we don't like and say, "Well, that's good. They need to respond." No, you respond. I need to respond. Why? Because the Lord is near. Oh, if we could only get our hearts wrapped around that. God, Jesus Christ, the God of this world, the universe, is near. Many needs were presented to this congregation tonight. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. Cry out to him. Call on him. Find him. Keep him. Finders keepers. When you find him, keep him. Search for him tonight. Let's come to the altar and let's pray. I want to invite everyone, if you would, to come to the altar tonight. Amen. Let's search for the Lord. What would the Lord do in your heart tonight if, with a heart of humility and submission, you admitted your need of him? What would he do in your heart tonight if we humbled ourselves before him and just said, "Lord, I need you"? Amen. Search for him tonight. Search for the Lord tonight.